From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. Today, a special report on what's shaping up to be this year's most important election. Venezuelans will head to the polls Sunday to elect a new National Assembly. Candidates from the Socialist Coalition, called the Great Patriotic Poll, or GPP, closed their campaign with a massive rally in central Caracas. Government supporters flooded the streets of the capital, wearing the red shirts of the GPP's largest party, the United Socialist Party of Venezuela, or PSUV. During the rally, President Nicolas Maduro said a vote for the GPP would be a vote for the continuation of the country's socialist revolution launched under his predecessor, Hugo Chavez. In the capital's wealthy east, the opposition coalition, the Democratic Unity Roundtable, or MUD, held its own rally. One of the few tangible campaign promises made by the MUD was to oust President Maduro if they secure a sufficient majority in the National Assembly. For more on this, we first go to our reporter from south of the border, Tony Solo, who spoke with us via Skype from Managua, Nicaragua, Friday.
In Venezuela, the election is happening for the National Assembly, the legislature, on Sunday, December the 6th. And there are 167 seats in Venezuela's National Assembly. At the moment, the opposition have 70-plus seats, and the governing PSUV party and its allies have the rest of the seats, which gives them a handy majority there. Now, I think they've got something like 90-something seats. And so the election is being regarded by observers, international observers, as a key test for whether the so-called conservative restoration that some analysts are saying is taking place in Latin America can actually build on the win in Argentina by Mauricio Macri, who takes office on December the 10th.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and combined with other events going on in the region, for example, yesterday or the day before, the Brazilian legislature accepted the initial stages of an impeachment process against President Dilma Rousseff, which is another threat to the stability of progressive governments and progressive political movements in Latin America. So the election on December the 6th is a very, very important kind of measure of what's going on in Latin America and whether it's true that progressive governments are being kind of rolled back, as it were, at a continental level by this so-called conservative restoration.
Well, you have this, a broadband assault, basically, on the left, with, and particularly, you know, at the heart of the international order. If you look at the key part that, you know, this entire project in Latin America plays in this, you know, rise of a multipolar world, and remembering that Brazil, for example, is the B in BRICS, at the heart of it are the ALBA countries. And at the heart of the ALBA countries is Venezuela, and at the heart of Venezuela is the electorate. And you've had this assault that took place on the economy there. Aside from all of the wrecking, the international assault on oil prices, you know, have made the revenues difficult for the government there. The media assault that's been constant against the government, and the various intrigues that the U.S. have been laying on top of Venezuela, and now this election as a focal point of all of that, to see how far they're able to push into the support for the government.
Yeah, and it'll be very bad news for everybody if Venezuela, the opposition, the right-wing opposition, win the majority in Venezuela's legislature.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point, and that's a big prize for them. My point is.
Yeah, it's a very big prize for them, and that explains the exaggerated, an over analysis on the part of a corporate media. There was a piece in Britain's Guardian newspaper today on their website suggesting that it seems inevitable that the right wing will win in Venezuela. Well, that's from being the case.
Right.
Because all the right wing opinion polls, of course, are saying that the right wing is going to win. Some even put Nicolas Maduro's support down at 24%. That's the opposition opinion polls, which is completely absurd. Because
right.
if you look at people who are regarded as independent analysts, there's an outfit called Hinterlaces in Venezuela that does polling and measurement of attitudes and stuff like that in Venezuela, and their conclusion is that Nicolas Maduro enjoys 60% support. That's not his,
right.
We're not talking there about 60% of electoral intentions or voting intentions. We're talking about in general, Nicolas Maduro and his government enjoy around 60% support.
Right.
And so, And there are various kind of idiosyncrasies to the Venezuelan election system, which mean, and as Mark Weisbrot, who's a very knowledgeable and authoritative writer on Latin economic affairs in Latin America, and I think he's a colleague of Dean Baker at the Center for Economic and Policy Research,
right,
up in the States. He wrote an article the other day explained that the way the political sympathies are distributed in Venezuela means that the rural areas are much more likely to vote for the government, whereas the opposition support tends to be concentrated in urban areas.
Right.
Now, and what that means is that it's likely that the way the electorate is distributed will work in the government's favor rather than in the opposition's favor,
yeah.
and that means that these claims by the Western corporate media in North America and Europe that it's inevitable that the Venezuelan opposition are going to win will probably turn out to be wrong,
right.
And I'll stick my neck out and SUV, the United Venezuelan Socialist Party and its allies that mobilize in the elections as the Gran Polo Patriotico, the kind of great patriotic axis, if you like. They are likely to win by probably a reduced majority for sure. But I'll be very, very surprised if the opposition in Venezuela win a majority, because the majority of people in Venezuela are people on low incomes, and it's that sector that has been the base, the electoral base, the power base, the political base for the governments of Hugo Chavez from 1998 until his very sad death in 2013, and subsequently Nicolas Maduro. And so, no, I just find it. I'll be very surprised if people in Venezuela vote the Venezuelan opposition, which is grouped together in something called the United Democratic Table. The MAUD, and that they themselves are extremely divided. That a lot of them are involved in have associations that are viewed very negatively by the general population. And a good example of that is the case of this guy Luis Diaz, who was shot dead at an election meeting. And it transpired that the person responsible for killing him was a rival criminal gang leader that Luis Diaz had crossed in some shape or form. And this gang leader gunned Diaz down in revenge. And so that's people in the way that's projected outside Venezuela is, oh, violence in Venezuela, government repression, sinister trends on the part of the Venezuelan government. But the way it's viewed inside Venezuela is confirmation of the fact that the Venezuelan opposition has extremely many, not all of them, of course, but many leaders in the Venezuelan opposition have very questionable connections.
Yeah, you had predicted, actually, when the murder took place, that you were going to find out one of his shady connections probably has something to do with it.
Well, yeah, and the police investigation seems to have confirmed that. And so, you know, I mean, people in Venezuela are very well aware. They know who the people are that they're voting for. Now, it may well be that the opposition have some very good candidates and are likely to do very well in certain areas. But in general, I think it's extremely unlikely that the opposition are united enough with sufficient number of attractive, viable candidates for them to make an electoral breakthrough in these elections. You know, let's hope I'm right. You know, because if I'm wrong, and if people like me who think that it's unlikely that the opposition will win a majority in Venezuela's legislature, if we're all wrong, then it's very bad news for Venezuela above all, but also for the region, because an opposition win would mean, for example, there's this guy Capriles, who was a leading figure in the violence just after the presidential elections in 2013, and he's been quoted in right-wing Spanish media saying that, insisting that it's inevitable that the Venezuelan right wing will win, but also saying that, very clearly implying, not saying in as many words, but very, very clearly implying that if the electoral result goes against the opposition, there's likely to be widespread violence.
Right. And that's a replay of what happened before. You know, so that sets us up for something. Assuming that they, by hook or crook, and more likely the latter, are able to pull off an election victory, you now have almost I realize you have different constitutions and also different political traditions, but you have almost a mirror image of the situation in Argentina that's coming up, which is they have a right-wing president and a left-wing legislature, or center-left legislature, and here you'll have a right-wing legislature, perhaps, and a left-wing president, and the game ends up again on the streets. And how is Venezuela poised as far as that goes?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that Venezuela's election system is probably the best in the world and the most trustworthy in the world, and that includes the United States and Western Europe.
Yep.
No, I'm Jimmy Carter in the past, in the last election in 2013, and he was absolutely adamant that the election result then, when Nicolas Maduro won by, I think he won by something like 1.8% or something like that. It was a very, very close shave for him and his party. But even Jimmy Carter and his election monitoring center said that those results were absolutely cast iron reliable, and every other country except the United States recognized them. It was only the United States government that sided with the opposition and tried to call the election result into question.
Even for
so these election results are going to be absolutely trustworthy. Yeah. So. And whoever wins, whether it's the right wing or the left wing, or the government, and the results will be completely reliable. So then, what would happen if for some reason, say the government wins, and the right wing tried to call for violence? And the security forces will definitely side with the government. The armed forces and most of the police will definitely side with the government. Not all the police, because some of the police forces in Venezuela are controlled by the opposition.
Right.
Now, so that's, you know, in general, the security situation will be very much in favor of the government. And this, it'll be the opposition who will be playing the role of the villain and trying to destabilize the country, which they've done in the past, of course, especially after 2013 presidential election. And if Capriles is right, and if one can trust what he has to say, and he's not just shooting his mouth off, then it's likely that we will see a replay of the very disruptive and murderous events. I mean, something like 43 people were killed, most of them actually government supporters, in 2013, and we're likely to see a replay of that. But again, I think that people in Venezuela trust their electoral system. And the majority of people will view the attempts by the Venezuelan opposition to destabilize the country with great disfavor and disapproval.
Right. I'm guessing that the scenario is going to be something like, the left wins, PSUV and its bloc win. Capriles declares victory for the right wing. The private media there carries a victory for the right wing as their headline banners. And Capriles calls people out into the street to defend their election win, basically. It's going to probably, I'm going to guess that's where he's headed.
Yeah, but and I think they may be able to mobilize a sufficient number of their activists in order to create serious violence in the country. But I mean, in the medium term, and people in Venezuela trust their electoral system,
right?
And that's the fundamental thing.
And they've been willing to go into the streets and defend their revolution too.
And Capriles, in his interview with El Mundo, the Spanish newspaper I referred to earlier, talked about civil war. Now, is he really prepared to do that?
Well, I had said by hook or crook, and I mentioned crook as his modality, but maybe his fate would be hook, as in Benito Mussolini.
Well, who knows? I mean, we'll see what happens on Sunday. I predict with some confidence that the government ruling coalition will retain a reduced majority in the National Assembly, and I think you're right that there will be a violent reaction by the Venezuelan opposition if they lose, and that that I'm sure that the Venezuelan authorities are prepared for that.
Caleb Maupin is an activist with the International Action Center and, as a journalist, is a frequent contributor to RT, Press TV, and the CPR News, among others. He's in Caracas for the election, and we spoke with him there via Skype Friday.
I am in Caracas.
All right. So tell us about, describe the scene there right now.
Well, yesterday was the closing of the campaign. There was a huge rally. Maduro gave a speech, urging people to go out and continue to support the revolution. The campaigning is officially over. The vote will take place on Sunday. And yesterday I saw an excellent presentation. We went to the National Center of the Elections, the CNE, and we saw an amazing presentation. This is going to be a very, very democratic election. I would say that this election is going to be more transparent, more democratic in its procedures than any election we've ever had in the United States. I mean, you can go down to the things they do for transparency with making sure that the fingerprints match, that no one votes for anybody else. You can go to the fact they have proportional representation so that parties are represented. This is going to be a very, very fair election. By any standard of it.
And, we've heard, of course, that Capriles has already declared, essentially, that the right won the election and if the left is declared the winner, then, out in the streets.
Well, exactly. And that's the game the opposition has played for the last 15 years, is never accept the election results and cause unrest and foment chaos in response to them. But the reality is, the right wing is not guaranteed a victory on Sunday. The reason for that being that they're very divided. The Chavista movement is united. They are backing the same candidates on the ballot. Many different parties, the United Socialist Party, the PSUV, the Communist Party, the Fatherland for All Party, all these parties are backing the same candidates. They're offering a united voice for continuing the revolution. But the opposition is very divided. There are many different factions within the opposition, and they don't all agree. So just because things may be slightly leaning in their favor, that doesn't guarantee them an electoral victory. And we have to be very clear about that. And we also have to be clear that whatever happens, we know the right wing and the opposition, which is being funded by the United States, we know that they are going to try and foment chaos and unrest. That is what they generally do. They're going to try and cause trouble and really do everything they can to be disruptive. I mean, I've been seeing things in the U.S. media since I've come here that are just ridiculous. Ridiculous allegations are being made, and they're trying to do everything they can to just smear the election results and try to create an incident in the aftermath of the elections. But the people here have really benefited from the revolution. I mean, the impact the revolution has had on people's lives is just very amazing. But I mean, we were at the center, the election center, and we saw how these elections are going to be done, and I was blown away by how democratic it is. I mean, can you imagine proportional representation, representing people voting for parties rather than for individuals, so that parties are assigned the number of seats they receive based on the percentage that they get? There's a number of parties on the ballot representing many different sections. There's an ecology party. There's all kinds of parties on the ballot. There's everything is being done to make sure the vote is completely transparent. This is going to be a fair election.
You know, it's not just important to the people in Venezuela. Venezuela sits at the heart of the ALBA countries. The ALBA countries sit at the heart of the regional integration project in Latin America and the Caribbean. And that, in turn, sits pretty close to the center of the growing multipolarity around the world. Do people there recognize how important this election really is?
Oh, it's extremely, extremely important, especially in light of what's happening in Brazil now with the impeachment proceedings against Dilma beginning, especially in light of the more right-wing moves in Argentina. This election is extremely important. What began here with Chavismo in 1999, with the beginning of the Bolivarian Revolution, I mean, this has impacted the entire continent, and it's impacted the entire world. I mean, people all over the world who are fighting for their independence and the fight against the rule of the world by big bankers and monopolists, they've been given a boost by what's happened here. And this election will have a global impact. And I think what's important to keep in mind is the people of this country are ready to defend their country. They're ready to defend their revolution. And if there is some kind of provocation in the aftermath of what will be a very democratic vote, I think the people who love this revolution and have gained greatly from it will defend their revolution. And I don't have any doubt about it. The people here, they love what has happened. People here have jobs. They have health care. I mean, we haven't seen any beggars the whole time we've been here. You know, and we've been to some of the poorest areas. We've seen just recently, one thing that they're doing is they're building low-income housing. Using the oil money, they're building housing units. And by the end of the year, the goal is to have over 1 million low-income housing units built. And I've seen some of these low-income housing projects that have been built by the government. I mean, they're just beautiful, beautiful buildings that are being constructed. I mean, the priority of the Bolivarian government is the needs of the people. They're not putting the needs of the big bankers and corporations. They're putting the needs of the people first. And, the impact is really, really tremendous. And it's not only been good for the low-income people, it's even been good for the big corporations to get society in order, to get the chaos of the market out of the way. I mean, great gains have gone on. It's been very good for Venezuela's economy to have the Bolivarian Revolution. And I think the people of Venezuela will continue to defend that revolution, even if in the next few days we see some serious provocations.
And finally, because I know your time is short, you're both an activist and a journalist. And I'm wondering, what exactly are you doing while you're there?
Well, I intend to document what takes place here, because I can guarantee you that U.S. media is going to lie about what happens in the next few days. U.S. media never strays from their script about Chavez, the brutal dictator, Maduro, the brutal dictator. They never stray from this script, even though, you know, every election has been won legitimately, according to the Carter Center, the United Nations. They have a script, a narrative about a brutal dictatorship. It's just propaganda. It's a false narrative. I'm going to document what actually happens here in Venezuela. People are anticipating some kind of confrontation taking place in the street. We saw what happened last year, the La Salida campaign, where, you know, the far right was out in the street murdering people in response to Maduro's victory. And I intend to record what happens here and record the truth and let people know what's really going to happen in Venezuela, what's really happening, because people need to know what's going to happen. They will lie about this. They're already lying. I saw in the press, for example, they were saying that that Maduro was saying that they would take to the streets and commit violence if the opposition won. Well, no, what he actually said was that the people of Venezuela will not allow a right-wing coup to happen and will march in the streets to defend their revolution. He didn't say they were going to engage in violence if the opposition won. I mean, just every little thing, every little distortion is being used. So I intend to document what's actually taking place here.
Venezuela's electoral system is designed to be impregnable, fully automated and auditable, and far more transparent than systems in countries like the U.S. But the Venezuelan opposition will not recognize the results regardless. Telesur's Isabel Finbo has more.
The electoral process in Venezuela begins with voters searching for their identification numbers to find the table where they have to vote. A thumbprint activates the system and proves that the voter hasn't voted before. All the parties appear on the screens in big clear boxes. People can also search by candidate's name and their face will appear. Once you've pressed on the candidate you want, a message appears asking if you're sure. And when you are, you simply press vote. The machine then prints out a paper proving you voted, which you then pop in the box. Finally, after signing, you dip a finger in indelible ink so that people know you've voted. Venezuela's electoral body is confident that fraud is almost impossible. Tania D'Amelio, director of the National Electoral Council, says that the system ensures that. In Venezuela, one vote is guaranteed. Then, of course, the facility that we have, that is our automated system. On top of that, on that day, all Venezuelans audit our vote. How do we audit our vote? A proof of vote comes out where you can identify with certainty if you voted. It's vital for the result of the election for voters to have complete trust in the voting system.
There is no possibility of fraud. It is impossible that there is fraud in our electoral system. It's good, perfect, very good. I believe it is the best that there is now.
The Venezuelan electoral system is designed to be impregnable, fully automated and auditable. It's streets ahead of many of the most developed countries. And on Sunday, under the gaze of observers from different parties and nations, it will be put to the test.
Now, the Venezuelan people have given their stamp of approval to the system, yet the Venezuelan opposition have said they won't recognize the result of the election. Isabel Fimbo, Telesur, Caracas.
Standing directly behind the opposition in Venezuela is the United States. Peace activist Cindy Sheehan spoke with Liberation Radio about the U.S. involvement there.
Since Hugo Chavez became president, replacing the government before him that was very friendly to U.S. and U.S. corporate interests, the U.S. has been extreme in trying to overthrow the Chavez government before he passed away, and now the government that is trying to carry on Chavez's work. And it's not just the government, it's the people. The people put Chavez in power. The people rewrote the Bolivarian Constitution, guaranteeing equal rights and human rights for everybody in Venezuela. Venezuela started to bring income equality, bring education, to bring health care, wellness, to bring cooperation and community participation in the affairs of Venezuela. The U.S. has spent millions, tens of millions of dollars trying to undermine that.
Viva Venezuela, mi patria querida, quien la libertó mi hermano fue Simón Bolívar. Viva Venezuela, mi patria querida, quien la libertó
mi hermano fue Simón Bolívar.
Digo que Venezuela, mi patria querida, quien la libertó, mi hermano fue Simón Bolívar. Digo Venezuela, mi patria querida, quien la libertó, mi hermano fue Simón Bolívar.
Bolívar, cuando era niño, tuvo un sueño promisor de ser, cuando fuera grande, libertador. Bolívar, cuando era niño, tuvo un sueño promisor de ser, cuando fuera grande, el padre libertador.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.